because he lives,
I can face tomorrow, because he lives, the fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day, across the river, I'll fight my fight, the war with pain. And then as day gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and the glory lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. The fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen. Through that, we hope and pick up the bigger hymn book and turn, if you would, to 191. 191. In my heart there rings a melody. 191. Let's make another joyful song.
Turn tonight to Esther, Book of Esther, chapter 7. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther, the queen, and the king said unto Esther on the second day of the banquet of wine, What is thy petition, Queen Esther, and it shall be granted thee, and what is thy request, and it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom? Then Esther the queen answered and said, If I have found favour in my sight, O king, and if it please the king, that my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request, for we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, Who is he and where is he that dost presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther, the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed wherein Esther was. Then said the king, Will you force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, Roll also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standing from the house of Haman. Then the king said, Hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. The reason I had a wee chuckle there was because I was starting to read on past the end of the chapter, and then Will stopped, and I had to get up and come back up to the pulpit again. But the Book of Esther is a powerful read. It's not preachy. I don't think there's any gospel in it except the great deliverance of the Jewish people, but it shows you how God can work in the background. And I have experienced this in my own life. I'm sure Norman has too. God can be working in the background, and then eventually whenever you meet up with God's plans, it's like a miracle has just occurred for you. I most heartily recommend it. It's not difficult going, a little bit of court intrigue and plans and things and stuff, but it's an excellent read and I would heartily recommend it. Amen. I just got to the second verse where Mordecai gets hanged and they give his house to, is it Esther? Sorry, not Mordecai. Haman gets hanged and they give his house to Esther. Loses everything trying to kind of wheedle some profit out of the Jews. Amen. Does anybody have any prayer requests they would like to add to our list? Okay, please do pray for the work in the church. That's going to be kicking off on Tuesday afternoon. And we'll be going, I'm sure, for maybe a few weeks, 3, 4, or 5 weeks. We just pray for your help. And then I'm hoping that the place is serviceable at least at weekends. So please do pray for us as Norman and I work. And if you ever find yourself with an excess of energy and a surplus of time, please give us a ring. We will certainly like the job for you. There's 50 plus 50 or 60 sheets of plasterboard that's going to be going up on the walls. So it'll be interesting. And we're looking forward to it, aren't we, Norman?
No, we are.
Please do pray about that. Please do pray for David King and his family, for Christy and Taylor. Especially pray for Pat and Steve. Steve especially, his health has given him a lot of trouble at the moment. So please do remember him. We always miss Ling on a Sunday evening. Please pray for her and Frank and her husband, Dr. Shine. And amen. Don't forget to pray for Colin. We're glad he's here. It was a bit touch and go there just earlier on, but he made it out. Please pray for him as he contends with, as I said in McDonald's, as he contends with the heathens of bargain buys. As long as you didn't say that within earshot of any of the heathens of bargain buys, you'd be grand. But we said that in joking at McDonald's one time, all of us sitting around, said, right, let's go over and bring those heathens in Kilfenan the gospel, or where's that effect? The guy on the next table who had a few jars too many. What do you mean by calling us heathens or pagans? At the end of it all, we had to tell him just to sit down and shut up. But nicely. But yeah, just be careful. Say it in your inside voice, in your head voice, not outside. Please do remember that. Anybody any private prayer requests? You are indeed, so is Norman.
Wim Hamilton as well.
William's on here too. No, I think that's about that. Anybody had anything special happen? Like to thank the Lord for over the last few days? Lots of parking spaces. I got lots of parking spaces over the last few days. Handy to where we needed to be, especially this evening. Literally in the middle of the diamond. And parked right across from Charlotte and then Colin, so I'm glad of that. And really can't think of anything else. All my mind's fixed on is the sermon right now, but God's good, continues to be good. He will supply your needs, and he has many helps and blessings for you if you turn up for it. So, amen. Right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we will continue on. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. At the risk of coming at you with a shopping list of prayers, Lord, would you please grant these prayer requests that we have mentioned already? I know each one of us has private prayer requests, maybe fighting a silent battle, Lord. I pray, Father, for help there, for wisdom, for remembrance of a promise, and Lord, that you would quite literally put your finger or your hand upon those that really do need you. Please restore, Lord, those that have slipped and slid away. Please, Lord, I pray you speak to and convict those that have chosen a downward path, Lord. And I pray, Father, for our brothers and sisters right the way across the world and in countries where lives are in peril because of the listening to the preaching of the gospel. And so many of the things that get us bent out of shape are things that they would laugh at, Lord. Please, I pray you, save souls across the world. Please bless the preachers of your word. Please, Lord, I pray you deliver our brothers and sisters out of the hands of wicked men. And I pray, Father, even now that you would work in the lives of these wicked men, especially our country's leaders, Lord, that have done so much and have caused so many lives to be lost. I pray, Father, that you would hold them accountable every night. And no matter the amount of tablets or alcohol that they do consume, Lord, that you would always bring their sins and the consequences of their actions to the forefront of their minds. Give them no rest day or night, Lord, until they make a decision for you. Please. For our preachers, for our countrymen, for our families and friends, please save souls. Please pave the way for us to get the work done at the church, Lord. Please guide our hands and please provision us, Father. We love you, praise you, and thank you for loving us and watching over us. And we just ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Right. Let's go back to the little books again. I think we are on number 15. That be about right? Who chose number 15? Amen. Number 15 in the wee black books. We remain seated when we sing How Long Has It Been. Number 15. Two books.
Since you called with the Lord and told him your heart.
put the wee black books away and take the big books out again. There's one more to sing, and then we're going to open our Bibles. If you'd like to turn to hymn number 54, we'll stand if you're able and sing. That will be glory. Hymn number 54 in the big hymn. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22. You'll understand why whenever we get about a halfway through the chapter. This is David praising the Lord for all of the things that God has done for him. Revealed promises, supernatural divine victories, reserves and strengths and encouragement, not from the world but from God alone. And how that God has passed those things on to David, given him peace on many sides and victory over his enemies, and prepared the way for his son Solomon, the wisest man that ever graced the face of the earth except Jesus Christ, to come and set a generation of peace for the children of Israel. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 22, beginning at verse number 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my saviour. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. And there went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of skies. And through the brightness before him the coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me. But they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself unsavoury. And the afflicted thou wilt save, and the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them who trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arm. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I have consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear me, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their closed places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them, on high above them that rose up against me, and thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. Amen. Amen. I hope that made some sense to you. We will have a look at a few of the words that are, few of the verses that are in there. And amen. We'll speak on the promises and the preparations that God puts into his children. Well, if you would, brother, would you pray first, please?
Yes, Father, thank you for this night, Lord. Thank you for bringing us safe and securely into the house, Lord. Bless us and bless each other that's coming to every house that's represented through us and keep us, Lord. Tonight, Lord, throughout the week and throughout the month and throughout the years, Lord, as well, Lord. We've asked Brown, we're going to keep them safe from the love and trouble and bring them to your presence, Lord, here or elsewhere, Lord. And pray for the church services throughout this land, Lord, and throughout this land, throughout the world, Lord. You may be a member of it also, Lord, to the full council that we've preached, Lord. And Lord, you may use the Holy Spirit to convict those who melt hearts, Lord, and say so many powerfully by the blood, by the message of the shed blood of the cross was shed in Calvary, Lord. We thank you for your mysteries, your evangelists, your pastors, your ministers, your missionaries, and also all the workers, Lord, give them as well as we start a new week and live with many trouble, Lord. You may your name be established right there, Lord, and may be worshipped as you should be, Lord, as well, Lord. Pray for our land, pray for our world, pray for the world leaders, Lord, and you may stave off war, especially in Ukraine, Lord, and stop innocent blood being shed, Lord. And save our leaders, Lord, especially Boris Johnson, Lord, bring an end to himself, Lord, and Lord, that they may come to save him, with him and his household, and you might save politicians, Lord, as well, Lord, and also industry leaders, and also throughout the world, you might save souls, Lord, and your mercy and your love may be shown throughout the world, Lord, and people might be saved, Lord. And we have Kisswood School, Lord, release international doors, and Christian Church, Lord, give them also, Lord, supply their needs, Lord, and I take the church out of them, and Lord, may establish save men and women in their ranks, Lord, you might use them mightily to establish thy will for the world, Lord, and see souls mighty and powerfully. Bless us tonight, Lord, deliver us from in trouble, Lord, get Mark to touch the gospel, Lord, touch the Spirit, Lord, may expound the gospel to us, Lord, and Lord, teach us new things, Lord, and make us grow more in the fly honor for our glory, Jesus Christ, again,
amen. Amen. Now, as we read in 1 and 2 Samuel, they can be very bloody books. And when I say bloody, I mean there's a lot of people end up meeting their makers. Many's the time that King Saul, the first king of Israel, did his utmost to kill David. There are records of his men of war being told to, as they say, fall on somebody. It didn't mean that they tripped and fell on top of them. It means they lifted out their sword and landed on them and ended up sticking the sword into them quite a few times. And so as we read this, we read about David thanking the Lord for delivering him many times from Saul. But not only that, for giving him the victory over Saul and, of course, the Philistines as well. He had to kill a few of those as well whenever he was coming into his own country again. I am not telling you to go out and buy a machete and go mad in the middle of the town on all those people that have been annoying the life out of you. I am not saying that. I am not telling you to take an axe and pray and thank the Lord for putting that person in front of you and then splitting them in two like a cord of wood. The Lord said to Peter, whenever there was a village that didn't want to entertain the Lord Jesus, and I think it was Peter that said, Lord, should we call fire down from heaven and just sort them right out? And Jesus said, that's not the way Christians are supposed to be. For all of these things that David is thanking the Lord about, for the victories over his enemies, for his great deliverance from his enemies, from the people around about him that were quite literally nitpicking at him and putting him down, a lot of those things apply actually to our own selves. The guy that's going to cause you the most trouble today is most likely the person you see in the mirror in the morning in the bathroom. It's going to be old habits. It's going to be the consequences of old habits. It's going to be temptations to re-engage in old habits. It's going to be somebody saying the wrong thing at the wrong time when you're in the middle of dealing with old habits. There's going to be temptations. There's going to be distractions. There's going to be what everybody else thinks. And for some strange reason, we give far too much credence to what everybody else thinks and not half enough to what the Bible says. All of these things are the enemies that crush us. It's not. If it was a guy coming up the road with a rifle, we'd wait in the hedge and jump him on the way past, and we would know who it was, and we would know how to lay hands on him and subdue him. But whenever it's sin in our lives that's causing us the problem, many times we are woefully underprepared to deal with it. Generally speaking, the term my truth or your truth is bandied about far too much, and is quite simply fancy wrapping for sin in people's lives. It's a shiny wrapper over whatever I bloomin' well want to do. That's my truth. And I would like to say someday to people like that, well, my truth is that I should have all the money in your pocket, and here's a knife just to help me along. And all of a sudden, people aren't so much for my truth anymore. It's God's teachings that are important. So getting that proviso out of the way, I'm not encouraging you to go mad and beat the tar out of people, although there are some people I am sure could be doing with it. That is not the job of a Christian. The job of a Christian is to subdue ourselves, catch ourselves by the neck or by the throat, and stop ourselves from going bonkers, and then show up to other people just what exactly a wee bit of Christian influence can do in your life. All these things here talk about the difficult times that David had. Saul had quite literally sent out armies to find him and kill him. And if you read 1 and 2 Samuel, you will find out about the number of very, very narrow escapes that David had. There was even one instance when David and his men were hiding in the back of a cave, and Saul and his men, they went to sleep in the front of the cave. And David went, I think, did he cut a bit of his cloak, or did he take his buckler, or his, and just to prove, quite literally, that God had put his life in his hands. God gave David the victory time and time again. And even whenever he became king, he was given victory after victory. He was pretty much unstoppable until he gave in to his sin. Until he was up one day, lying in his bed all day, when he should have been out leading his armies, and he saw a woman bathing herself across the way, and he committed adultery with her. And that brought about the downfall of Israel. Not in Solomon's day, but in Solomon's son's, Rehoboam's day, 2 generations later. The biggest problem we're always going to have in this life is our own selves. But forby that, if we want to take just these few verses, and these few verses have been great help to me, and there is a lot of promise in them. Reading from verse number 29, it's... the words will be familiar because of the words of this blessed old book. Well, the word of God says, and this is what David was saying to the Lord, "Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." Now, that doesn't mean if the lights go out, all of a sudden they're going to shine again, but that's one of the reasons why I have a flashlight on me. If the lights ever do go out, we're in the country, there's no street lights around here. It is not the physical light that we need. It's spiritual, biblical light that we need. People are wandering through this life doing things that are quite literally killing them because they don't know what God says. For instance, God says you shouldn't be drinking. Do not drink alcohol. It will be a snare to you. Bible also says do not make money the most important thing in your life because people will do anything for money. They will sell their families, they will sell their integrity, they will sell their chastity, they will, yeah, the goodness, they'll sell their mothers. Chasing money. There's a whole bunch of stuff the Bible says not to do. And as the Word of God said in one of the old prophets, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But whenever you do follow the Bible and do follow the teaching and preaching of it, it will be a light to you. It will show you the right way to go. It will lighten your darkness and it will show you what way you should live your life. And it will seem in verse number 30, it says, for by thee have I run through a troop. Basically, a couple of rows of soldiers and you being able to run through them. It sounds like a verse or two from Samson in Judges, where he was able to take the jawbone of an ass and kill 1,000 men. I would love to say he's the strongest man in the world, but there's many a politician has outdone that over the years. The jawbone of an ass having killed thousands of men. You will be able to do things that people think are pretty much impossible whenever you are walking with the Lord. Things will be delivered to your hands. Victories will be given you whenever you're doing things God's way. I like to, the New Testament version of that is the time that Peter walked on the water. You can do impossible things whenever your eyes fixed on God and you're doing what he calls you to do. Things that the rest of the world be saying, that's crazy. I would never do that. Now bear in mind, there was God Almighty standing not too far away off the boat. The boat had all the disciples in it, so what, 12 men? There was only one of them walked on the water. Because he called to the Lord and said, Lord, if it's your will, call me to you, and I'll come to you on the water. Bear that in mind. Not everybody goes the same way. But when you do it God's way, you can do the impossible. We need to remember that his way is not just the right way, it's the perfect way. That's what the next verse says. As for God, his way is perfect. You need to get that fixed in your mind. Whether you can understand it right now, I'm not using it to browbeat you into doing anything. God is not using it to browbeat you into doing anything. It's like whenever you're little, being told not to play with the flickering light on the wall. Don't play with the plug sockets. But why? The light is so neat, it makes a clicking sound whenever I flick the switch on and off. And all of a sudden there's a smack, smack, smack. A slap and a bang. And tip of little Timmy's finger is all black. Because he stuck it in a socket and flicked the switch on. It's too small to understand why it is you're not supposed to play with the sockets. But the consequences are the same. Many times we don't understand why we should do what God says we should do. We should do it anyway. And as you grow in Christ, you say, I understand now that, for instance, why should I turn up at church when there's only like a half a dozen of people here? Because the same gospel would be preached for half a dozen as it would be for 6 dozen, if we could fix 6 dozen in. It's the same gospel. You get to hear the gospel, and you're the only person that can be responsible for you hearing the gospel. You and I both. And bear in mind, I am not standing up here saying, I'm past this. God had to show me this. He had to give me the notes to read. I have read the chapter twice now, and now I'm preaching it. I need it 4 times. I get it 4 times for your 1 time. What does that say about me? I needed to have it drilled into my head or hammered into my head 4 times. And you only once. We need the preaching of God's word. And many times in faith, I've had to make many decisions. Many years ago. Goodness, it is many years ago. About 30 years ago. I was keeping bad company. And I was not very close to that bad company. And I had to stop it. And it wasn't until I came across a little piece of scripture, Old Testament again, where it says, talking about Jesus, I've set my face as a flint, and I shall not be ashamed. And I went and made the decision, severed ties with the person I needed to be away from. And that was that. And I thought I did very well. I just went in and said, we're done. Walked away. That was that. I thought, hey, that's true. God's good. He gave me the ability to say that, to do the right thing, let him pick up the pieces. It's great. About 2 weeks later, the guys in work said, what happened to you a week or two back? You're like a bear with a sore head. And I thought, was I? I didn't really see that. But God is good. And I did what needed to be done and trusted God to pick up the pieces of my heart and the pieces of my life and put it all back together. And guess what? He was faithful. And he did that. He kept me in the palm of his hand and he didn't let me go. God is faithful and God is good. And his word, you can bet your life on it. He says his word is tried. It has worked for many people before you and I. And it will continue to work for you. Not because we're humans, but because we're humans and there is a great God that loves us the best and wants the very best for us and has put those things there to save our lives and our minds and our bodies. In fact, it goes even so far and tells us the word of God is like a piece of armor for us. For everyone that trusts in it, it will protect you. It goes on to say, and throw this question up, and we should always be ready. We should be ready for questions. Someday someone's going to ask you, why is it that you turn up at church? You're never about on a Sunday to go to the pub. Why is it? Where do you go? And then you have a question. Do you confess God before man? Or do you not confess him before man? I want for you to understand something. The word of God promises you as an individual. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. A lot of people think that's getting saved. I want to take it a step farther, and I want for you to understand that's even for you and me as Christians. When people say, are you a Christian? You go, oh no, what do I do? Do I confess that I'm a Christian? You have a choice to make. Do you confess God before men? Yes, I am a Christian. Well, what do you do of a Sunday? You trust God to put the words in your mouth and say, just this past Sunday we went to church and the preacher preached a message about Noah's Ark. And he said the Ark was just like Jesus. It was there to save everybody that would walk in through the door. And Jesus, he'll save anybody that will call upon him. It was class. Only the preacher took an extra 45 minutes. But that's what he said in the morning. And the song, there was a class song. We sang about how much God cleanses us from sin. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. It was like a sermon just in the song. And then in the evening he spoke about Jesus giving us life on Calvary. Not to pay just for a bit of our sins, but for all of our sins. You confess the Lord before men. Because there comes a day when the shoe's on the other foot, when it's not you that needs to do the business. It's not you that needs to open your mouth and preach the gospel. It's whenever you call upon the Lord, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Lord, I'm in a jam. Help me out. Very much like the book of Esther. Many years ago, I got into a lot of jams and desmos. And I got them all sorted out because the Lord was with me. He was working in the background. He was working on people's hearts. He worked on me and gave me a good spirit whenever I was working there and helping people with their computers in their own homes. And whenever the crunch came, read the book of Esther. You have to read the book of Esther. All the pieces came together to my advantage in the sight of all of those that hated me. Well, one particular guy. God's word is good. God is a buckler. And God is a rock you can depend upon. Now it says he's a rock. He's talking about a foundation for your life. You can build your life on Jesus.
When it comes to you doing stuff, what is God to you? It says here, he's your strength. Now, that doesn't mean he'll enable you to lift a piece of plasterboard in each hand. That's not going to happen, by the way. I'm doing well. There's a couple of days there, with whatever's going on with the bicep and the shoulder, that I couldn't do that, but I'm here and I can do it now. As long as it doesn't go over about 25 pounds in each hand, I'm good. I'm talking about the strength of character that will enable you to say, no matter who's standing around and about, Christian, of course I'm a Christian. Are you not a Christian? And then not care about what anybody says. Do you not know it's only Christians are going to heaven? Born again Christians. Not Protestants, not Catholics, not Jehovah's Witnesses. Born again Christians. They're the only ones that's going to heaven. Do you not know that? My goodness, you're pointing the finger at me and saying, shame on you for being a Christian. In 1,000 years, God will be pointing at you and be saying, shame on you for not being a Christian. That's the strength. It's hard to come by. The first little bit of it's hard to grasp a hold of. Sometimes it's a bit slippery, especially when it comes to the bit. It's hard to grab it by the tail. But I have always found there was power in the Word of God, just like God promised in the book of Romans. And a verse or two of scripture before you set out to fight a war is like throwing coal in the old boiler of an old steam train. And once you get up ahead of steam, and it doesn't take very long, all of those pieces fall into place in your head, and you will find the very remembrance of God's scriptures and the fearlessness that people need to see in you. I'm not out to gather followers. I'm not out to gather, was it friends? Is it followers on Twitter? Is it followers on Twitter? Or I'm not out for that. In fact, if you type in Pastor Mark Bradfield into Google, all you're going to find is my name and a few disparaging articles in some gay rights magazine. So I'm sure I've got plenty of negative followers. Is that dislikes, likes and dislikes? But I don't care because I love their souls and I want them saved. And if that means they need to get upset at the gospel, well, so be it, because I'm following God. And all those other things that people want are completely uninteresting to me. The work in the church, I'm thankful to God that he's kept me alive for the 2 years. He's made me fit enough to be able to help Norman to fix the church. It's not me that's working on the church. Norman's working on the church. I'm helping him. Remember, Colin? We're helping Norman. Norman's the brain and we're the two eyes. We were the two arms. Make the tea. Get the tools. Bring the materials. He's very hands-on. I'm only pulling his leg about that. But that's the strength that God has for us. Not being afraid of what other people think. Oh, I'll lose some sort of financial opportunity if I stand for God. Stand for God. What happened to Joseph? Whenever he stood for God, his brethren hated him. He was sold as a servant, nearly with his life in jeopardy. He was chucked in jail. And eventually, because he stood for God, he was made the most powerful man in Egypt, in the world. The only time Egypt has ever been used as a type of heaven and Pharaoh as God. That's the strength that God gives you. The strength to do what needs to be done without worrying about anybody else. The strength to say what needs to be said without worrying about what anybody else said. And I'm not talking about being ignorant to people and just shooting your mouth off and saying the first thing that comes into your head. I'm talking about being a Christian. God says, I'll give you the strength to do that. He's done it for me, he'll do it for you. And it will make your way perfect. It might not be exactly easy going. There might be a few bits of loose stone on the way, and it might be a very narrow road, but it'll be good on the heart. It's the way to go. The next verse says, he makes my feet like hinds' feet. You see that? He makes my feet like hinds' feet. You're thinking, is he going to whip off my ankles and give me a couple of hooves? Is that what God's going to do?
God is not in the chimera business. He's not in the amputation and stitching on of some mutant feet. He's not going to make you into an X-Man or an Avenger or anything like that. The thing about hind's feet is that they can pretty much like walk up rock walls. You don't slip. Have you ever noticed that? They can literally climb mountains where people can't even find places to put their fingertips. It says God will do that for you. And he will set you upon your high places. He will take you as far as you can go. If you let him. If you let him. He's not going to force you. But he will take you if you let him. And that's something to bear in mind. Because a lot of us have our own ideas. My idea, originally I thought maybe I'll be working for IBM. I could have been working for IBM over in America. And I remember the day that my old boss was, he was an atheist, he hated Christians. He didn't like the fact that I didn't work for him, but I worked for Desmond's, because he wanted to build a little empire all of his own and have his own little serfs coming and buying and scraping and doing this. I was told I worked for Desmond's. He didn't like that. And where did I go with that? Sorry. Yes. He was giving me such a hard time that I actually applied for and got a job in IBM. I was offered the job in IBM up in Belfast, just by the cinema. And I was on the cusp of accepting it when I thought, I am not going to let this pagan heathen gulpin, always remember to say that in your head, force me out of a job that I have enjoyed and from a place that I have enjoyed it. So I didn't, I politely declined the job. I could have been in Belfast working for IBM, or in Belfast in America, working for IBM. I might have met Monica over in America, fixing her church's computers. You never know. You don't know where the best place is. I wouldn't have thought my life would take a right turn and I would end up ministering in a little church out in the country. Never thought that. As I said to a young fella that was doing one of those wee school things in the Craigavon shopping centre, they'd set up little stalls and they were selling their wares. He said, what are you planning to do with your life? And he told me all that he was planning to do. And I told him about myself, how I had planned to fix computers and program them and this, that, and the other. And I said, and then my life took a right turn and I am now working full-time Christian service. You never know what the Lord, where the Lord will put you, but I will tell you one thing. It will be the best place for you. He will set you on your high places. It doesn't mean you're going to be above anybody else, but you'll be the best that you can be. If God was a workman, someone would be the best hammer. Someone would be the best screwdriver. Someone would be the best pair of pliers. Someone would be the best angle grinder. Everyone would be the best. They could be different, but the best. And this is what God has for you, if you will let him. This is the one that Steve brought to my attention many, many years ago. He says, he teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. And you think, see, God is promising to make me into a superhero. He's going to make me like the Hulk. I can just twist and bend bars and do just whatever I want. There were some fairly fearsome men back in David's day. Some of them even hopped down into pits to fight with bears and lions. They were that crazy. And even mano a mano with the brothers of Goliath. You know Goliath that was about 12 or 13 foot tall? Used to carry a spear that was about the size of a weaver's beam. Could you imagine them carrying a spear, a 4x4 spear into battle? 9 or 10 foot long. It takes me nearly two hands to carry that and I have to put it on my shoulder. And a guy like Goliath could hold it one-handed and use it as a sword or throw it or do stuff like this. And some of David's men used to literally do that. fight the guy and kill him. Killed all his brothers. God will teach you how to win the battles that you need to fight. If you commit the word of God to your heart, here's the promise of God to you. The Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance and will teach you all things. That's a little bit like turning up at a building site and the Holy Spirit works there and people, the guys just dump pallets full of bricks, they tip them over the fence in. The guys come along with a few tons of cement and they just pump it in over the fence. You would think that would make an awful mess. But the Holy Spirit gets all of those pieces and assembles them into something that you and I can use for ourselves or for the people we minister to. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit. Whenever we dump in scripture verses, I know people don't like that. And I've been accused of harping on at that. Studying the Word of God. It's the power of God. Do you not want the power of God in your life? God says, I will teach you to make war. In this country, and at this time, it's wars of words. It's not battles fought in the streets that's important, it's battles fought in the hearts and minds of men. And the devil knows it, and you can tell by the filth that's put around on the TV and on the internet just exactly what's going on. God says, I'll help you fight those battles so that you can't be beaten. I will do that for you. I will teach you. I will educate you. I will strengthen you if you let me. This is the promise. David found it. I have found it. And if he'll do it for me, if he did it for David, if he did it for Paul the Apostle, what does the Word of God say? God is no respecter of persons. We are all the same to him. We are all children when we get saved. That's all that we are to Jesus Christ. And if you want the promises and the blessings that God has for anybody, for any soul that will turn up at the foot of the cross and stay there, and just say, teach me, Lord. Remember the words of Solomon. Remember the words of Solomon that made him the wisest man that the world has ever seen. He never actually spoke any words. He dreamed them. And God said to him, Solomon, what do you want? Do you want victory against your enemies? Do you want peace on all sides? Do you want wealth beyond imagining? What did Solomon say? He said, teach me. Give me the wisdom to rule your people from like a little child here. And God said, I am so pleased with you, Solomon. Because you asked to rule my people, I'm going to give you peace, and I'm going to give you victory, and I'm going to give you wealth, and I'm going to give you wisdom. And it was shortly after that, if you remember the story of the two harlots and the little baby, and he said, I'll cut the baby in half, someone can have the legs, someone can have the arms. Remember the story? And the real mother said, no, no, give the baby to her. And the one that wasn't the mother said, yes, divide the baby. And Solomon said, that's her man. That's what God has for you. If you let. If you let. We're going to close with this, the last two verses here that we're going to look at, 36 and 37. It might seem like a bit counterintuitive. In verse number 36, it says, thou hast given me a shield of salvation, and thy gentleness has made me great. It is an amazing thing to know, first of all, that you are saved. It gives you so much peace. It freed me from worry. Whenever I found out that I was residing in the palm of God's hand and nothing and no one could pluck me out, it gave me so much peace of mind that I was able to go out joyfully, knocking on doors, talking to folks about Jesus, putting leaflets in the door, turning up at church, turning up at Bible study, doing whatever needed to be done. I was able to do that with joy and not with fear It is amazing to have that. It took me from the pulp, the pew to the pulpit. If it did that for me, and that's only a little thing, it's only 5 or 6 yards. I'm sure God has moved Monica thousands of miles many times. He moved me about 10 feet, 15 feet. Knowing that you're saved and going to heaven is the one thing the world can't offer you. No other religion can deliver, although many promise, but Jesus can. And it does make a difference in people's lives. It is his gentleness. The way he holds us like a little baby to his breast. The way he protects us like a hen protects the little chicks that she throws her wings over. It is his gentleness in our hearts that makes us great. Great people are not selfish. They're not greedy. They're not lustful. They're not lasciviousness. They're not merchants of terror or fear. They're gentle. They're giving. And they're sacrificial. That will make you great. If you let it. And lastly, number 37, and we're stopping with this verse. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. If you know where you're going, you'll know where to put your feet. And if you trust in the Lord and taking steps in the direction that he has laid out before you, whether you've been there or not, you can trust that he will put your foot on a firm foundation. And that you will not slip. If you let him, remember it. Maybe I should have called the message, if you let him. But all of these things and so much more are there for you when you turn up. When you accept Christ as your Savior. And when you're prepared to do what he asks you to do. That is the promise of God. It's there for you all. And it starts in the Word of God. Thank you for your good time. I appreciate your attention. And thank you for being good sports and indulging me. Has anyone got a closing hymn? And we'll sing that and then we're done for the evening. If you don't, I have one. If you do, that's grand. We'll sing it.
Three six on the language.
Sure. 3-3-6, not 3-6-6.
Yeah.
Constantly abiding. Can you play that? Yeah. Let's stand and sing Constantly Abiding. Do you know this one, Colin?
No, to be bluntly honest with you, there's no.
You're being done out of the job, pull those rabbits out of the hat. I know it, Constantly Abiding.
That's not full of. What's his name?
Bacon Samuel.
Raptured divine.
constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers oh so kind. I will ever leave me, Jesus is mine.
His treasure I have in a temple of clay, one here on his footstool I roam. But he's coming to take me some glorious day over there to my heavenly home. Constantly abide.
Faithfulness. I look forward to catching up with you as the week goes on. Pray for Colin. He's got many, many hours this week working on bargain buys without any respite, so please pray for him. And not for strength in case he wrings the neck of his manager, but for patience and forbearance and wisdom. And do pray for us as we labour. Will's got his ordinary work, and so is Charlotte. And Monica, she's got her real job cut out for looking after me. So, please do be much in prayer for each other and for absent brethren. Let's bow our heads and be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Lord, just thank you for this time in your word, for a reminder of the promises that are there and the things that are there for us, your children, amongst so many other things. Please, Lord, I pray you minister to us, put your good hand upon us. Show us, Lord, how much better it is to walk and talk with you than to be at the mercy of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Bless us as we go our separate ways. Please, Lord, bring these things to our remembrance as and when we need them. And we just love you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for saving souls. We ask all these things, of course, for private prayer requests too, for our countries and especially for Israel. We ask them all, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.